Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm sure you've seen by now the iconic picture of the little 2-year-old Honduran girl in pink sneakers and a pink jacket, standing there as her mother is being patted down by a Border Patrol agent. She is standing there looking up and crying. The picture went viral. It was on the front page of the New York Daily News first, and then it was used as the cover image for a Facebook fundraiser that has now become the biggest fundraiser in Facebook's history, nearly $20 million. To help parents and children at the border. And then on Thursday, Time magazine put the little girl's picture on their cover next to a cutout picture of the president with the words, "Welcome to America." And when you first looked at that picture, you could hardly help but wonder, what's going to happen to that little girl? We know now that the little girl is with her mom in a detention facility in Texas. We know now that there is more to the story than a single picture could tell. But still, we have to wonder, what's going to happen to them? And when I look at that picture now, I also can't help but wonder, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to our country? What's going to happen to our own souls? Our nation's upheaval about what has been happening at our southern border over these last several weeks is only one part of the chaos and the conflict that have been simmering in our nation. It feels now like it has reached a whole new level, which many of us hardly thought was possible at this point. There is this elemental anxiety, this deep sense of helplessness. There seems to be no end. There seems to be no bottom. Nothing seems secure anymore. Nothing seems to hold. When we finally feel like we are getting a handle on one issue, the issue changes, or the stories about the issue are in too much conflict, or a new issue storms onto the scene. Chaos, conflict, outrage, anger, anxiety, helplessness on an unending loop. And now what? As people of faith, what do we do now? Late in the week, another outrageous news story and picture with the words, "I really don't care, do you?" And beyond our outrage, don't we also wonder, does God care? Years ago, when I was pastoring a little church in southwest Georgia, a group of us from our church would go out every Tuesday to a local trailer park and have something we called Kids Club. We would have crafts and a snack and games and a Bible story. One Tuesday afternoon, our Bible story was this morning's passage from the Gospel of Mark. I had all the children sit in their little plastic chairs. We were outside. And I asked them to close their eyes and to imagine themselves in this scene. All 15 of them closed their eyes and began to picture it. "You're in a boat with Jesus and the other disciples," I told them. "Tell me what it looks like and what it feels like." And they began to tell me. They told me what the boat looked like, how the air smelled, how the waves sounded, how the water felt underneath the boat. And then I told them that Jesus had gone to the back where there was a pillow and he was asleep. And I told them, "Look back there." They still had their eyes closed. "Look back there. Tell me what you see." And they described it. They could see him back there. He was all curled up and comfortable. They could hear him snoring. And then I told them about the storm. The sky is dark. The wind is blowing. The rain is coming. The waves are starting to crash into the boat. "Tell me how you feel." And the kids all started to shout out, with their eyes still closed, how it felt. "I feel sick. I feel scared. The rain is cold. The wind is hard. We might sink." We kept going. They kept imagining. Their boat was rocking side to side, and the storm kept coming, and 15 kids all kept their eyes closed as they imagined it. I told them, "The storm is getting stronger. Can you feel it?" "Yes." "The wind is getting harder. Can you feel it?" "Yes." "The water's coming into your boat. Can you feel it? Can you see it? Are you scared?" "Yes." "What are you going to do?" I asked them. And all of a sudden, 13-year-old Antonio jumped up, and with his eyes still closed, he shouted, "My Jesus just woke up." "My Jesus just woke up. That's what I want. How about you?" If we were the ones writing the story, when the chaos and the destruction threatened to overwhelm, isn't this what we would want to happen? Jesus would just wake up, get to work, and fix things for us. Of course, we know from the story that's not exactly how it went. It was nighttime when Jesus told his disciples, "Let's go across the sea to the other side." Mark doesn't tell us why it had to be at night. He was in kind of a rush, it seemed. So the 13 of them piled into the little boat and set sail, and the storm came up, and the water churned around them, and it swamped the boat, Mark says. And 12 men tried to handle the situation, and one man lay sleeping, and he does not wake up. Things get worse, and their Jesus lies in the back on a pillow, sound asleep. So finally they shake him awake, and they plead with him in words that reflect what many of us have felt too. "Teacher, don't you care that we're dying? Do you care, Jesus?" And without a word, Jesus gets up, looks at the storm, and speaks to the sea, saying just this: "Peace, be still." And the wind stops, and the storm stops. Silence. Calm. Mark writes this like an exorcism. Throughout his gospel, whenever the demons confront Jesus, he shuts them up basically just like this. But the thing is, magicians, exorcists, miracle workers, they could do those kinds of exorcisms too. But storms? The ancients, who thought of storms as something like storm demons, the ancients knew there was only one force that could overcome such a power, and that force was God. In a battle between man and the sea would almost always win. But in a battle between the sea and God, God the protector, God the deliverer, was the certain victor. So when Jesus stood in that little fishing boat with those great waves crashing in and those wild winds whipping around and that angry sea churning beneath, and he said those words, "Peace, be still," and the storm and the sea responded, the disciples turned to each other and asked, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The answer, of course, is meant to be clear to those of us hearing the story. Only God has more power than the storm. So if Jesus can muzzle the wind and the waves with a word, then we know who Jesus must be. This is God with us. This is God in our boat. This is God who cares. It was nighttime when Jesus said, "Let's go across the sea to the other side." And when he says the other side, he means to cross the sea with them into Gentile territory. This is right at the beginning of his ministry, and already he is pushing the boundaries, showing that his mission will not ever be just to his own people, but to all. And he'll do this all through Mark's gospel. He'll put himself in marginal places, places beyond the bounds, places of transition, places of danger and risk. He goes to the border. He puts himself on the edges, in politically charged places, like a tax collector's home. He goes to the wilderness. He goes to mountaintops. And after this night in that boat, as soon as he gets to the other side, to the Gentile territory, he'll find himself near a graveyard. And soon after that, he'll go to a little girl's deathbed and lift her up into life. Jesus keeps walking into these liminal spaces, the thin edges between life and death. And he keeps showing up with the power of God to claim life, to pull possibility out of impossibility. And then eventually, he will push all the way to the other side. He will go all the way to the grave himself and pull out life. Throughout Mark's gospel, Jesus pushes into the margins and makes it clear that the reign of God, the power of God, the care of God always extends even to those places, dangerous places. God's commitment to our well-being goes beyond whatever lines we thought were there. God does care. More than we know, more than we can imagine. God does care about people beyond every line we try to draw. God does care about what happens at the border, at the borders between countries, but also at the boundaries between people, and also about the walls we place around our own anxious, angry hearts. God cares about the chaos swirling around us and within us. God really does care. Do you? After after the wind stopped and the waters were calmed, Jesus turned to his disciples and asked, "Why are you afraid? Have you yet no faith?" Which, in a way, was like saying to them the same thing he had said to the storm: "Peace, be still." Maybe he's saying it to us too. We may wish our Jesus would just wake up, but maybe his sleeping is a sign. A sign that no storm is bigger than he is. A sign that with him in our boat, we are always in the presence of the one power greater than anything that threatens us. A sign of peace. A sign that the reality is God holds us. God holds all. The storm may soak us. It may swamp our boat. It may scare the daylights out of us. It may make us sick, angry, anxious, confused. It may take more out of us than we thought we had in us, but it will not finally overcome us. We will be rocked, but we will not be overcome. Because Jesus is in the boat with us. And what he will ultimately say to all the storms of life is the same thing he says to us now: peace, be still. And in this noisy, churning loop of outrage and chaos, his sleeping in the stern shows us something we need to know. The psalmist said it like this: "I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. So my soul is quieted within me." This is not a passive thing. This is not about doing nothing in the face of evil. It is not about not caring. It's about trust. It's about knowing we're held in the loving arms of a God who cares. It's about having a soul at peace so that we can follow Jesus into every place he leads and then act with his power and his care and his love. In a world of chaos, anxiety, anger, outrage, noise, and fear, we can ourselves become signs of peace, hope, and love if we can trust his care and hear his words: "Peace, be still." And if even the winds and the sea can listen and obey, why not us?